Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. I'm John Marino, and we are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built, by Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. By Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. By White Plains Hospital, by Michael Lambriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk, and by Tompkins Mayo Bank. This is On the Beat in Westchester. We are joined by the publisher, editor of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter, whiteplainscitizennetreporter.com, John Bailey, host of Fios and Spectrum TV in Westchester programs, People to be Heard, and White Plains Week. John Bailey, welcome back to Westchester Talk Radio. Great to have you here. It's been an interesting past few weeks, and we've had a quite interesting week here dealing with the storm we had, the tropical depression when it reached us of Hurricane Ida, I guess decreasing strength when it hit us. My only thought is, if this was decreased strength of a tropical depression, what was this thing really like down south? We've heard about it. How did our leaders locally respond to this? Were we ready?
Well, my problem is, if you were expecting 6 inches of rain, the county has to pre-close everything. They have to pre-close the usual suspect roads. And you know what? There are Bronx River Parkway, Sawmill River Parkway, Taconic.
The Hutch. Spring.
Right, the Hutch. Of all places, the Hutch. The road that Pharaoh's engineers could not fix.
They still can't fix it.
No, they can't.
With all the work going on there right now.
But I mean, that's number one. That's what the county has to automatically do when they're expecting a really heavy rainstorm. They just block off the highways. But they're afraid to do that because people will complain. Fear.
So many people go out there. They know what might happen. People have a responsibility, too. And yet one leader in the Hudson Valley, one public official recently said to me, he said, you know, John, I could say whatever I want and decree whatever I want in a certain situation, but we all know 30% of the populace will still do the opposite of what that decree might be, and you can't stop them.
That's no excuse. You just close the roads.
Mm-hmm.
Use the state police to just block off the entrees.
Mm-hmm. How about Con Edison? How did Con Ed handle this?
Well, the jury is still out. Greenberg, which was pretty well hit with outages, is supposed to be back on by this evening. And we'll see how that works out. I think they're doing a better job than expected. There haven't been that many outages this time around because there's no wind. If that had been 30 to 40 mile an hour winds, real tropical storm force, we would have had much greater outages, in my opinion. I don't think Coons got over 12 miles in White Plains.
And you talk about this evening. Today is Friday, September 3rd, kicking off Labor Day weekend here. Yes. Now, that's my concern. It's early in the season here. We've had to deal with two hurricanes that turned into whatever on the way up here. Henri was a tropical depression when it hit this area, and Ida. Henri was a tropical storm, actually, and Ida here, a tropical depression when they got up to this area here, the New York metro area of New York, Westchester, Hudson Valley, Connecticut, Long Island, obviously, New Jersey, too. New Jersey suffered so much damage with this storm here, with Ida's tropical depression raging upon us. My concern is it's early September, and hurricane season begins late July. We had to deal with Henri in mid-August. This hurricane season runs through, every hurricane season runs through late November. This is kind of early. When we got hit by Irene and Sandy a decade ago, we're talking late October, early November by that point. It's a month.
Yeah, we're averaging a big storm a month.
Maybe every few weeks. Now I'm hearing talk about maybe a Hurricane Larry that might be coming along too. So we really have to think about how prepared we are. Do you think maybe the county government, maybe Con Edison, has some lessons to be learned here by what we've gone through so far with Henri and with Ida?
Well, I have to say that the electricity was back on quicker for Con Ed, and apparently they've reinforced things. All the tree cutting apparently has helped in wires not being downed by dead trees. But of course,
they had to reinforce things because there is no longer Indian Point around in Buchanan.
Yes, and you know, we don't miss Indian Point, do we? All that crap, we can't close it because we need the juice. Well, we closed it and we don't need the juice. There hasn't been an electrical shortage this summer, in the hottest summer we've ever had in my memory.
Right.
That's not, I can just tell you, it's the hottest summer we've ever had. Because I lived up here all
your memory goes back a few years, like mine too, right?
Yes, we remember when you had maybe a 3 or 4 or 5 90-degree days, you'd have one heat wave of summer, and then August would dissipate into a little bit of humidity. But now it's dangerous weather. We're getting lot more rain, a lot more rain, a lot more thunderstorms. I tell you, I have to go outside to empty a bucket to take care of my off-the-roof deluge because of the amount of rain. And it was lightning and thunder. I thought I might get struck by lightning, but,
And here I am in the studio. The studio got flooded here, and I thought I might get electrocuted. It kind of reminded me of
that
a
is
football
true.
Game
when
work, back in, yeah, now all the
when
wire.
You're working with water in a basement, and you got electric lights on.
Yep.
It's a real danger. I mean,
I remember the nor'easter. This reminded me of the nor'easter in 96. During the autumn, we had a huge nor'easter, and I was working a White Plains football game against Pine Bush. Defending state champions had come down from Orange County, and we had water up to our ankles in the booth at Parker Stadium in White Plains, where the Tigers hosted their home games at that time. And this was a much anticipated game on the schedule around New York State, White Plains against the defending champions. But because of the monsoon we had that day, 40-mile-an-hour winds, and I remember it took good 90 minutes to get home and had to get on the hutch and had to get off the hutch and drive through Mount Vernon, et cetera. You know what the final score was? White Plains 2-0 on a safety. That was it, because nobody could move the ball. You couldn't pass the ball with the wind because of all the rain on the field. You couldn't run the ball. I think there were maybe 4 or 5 games around the area played that day only. And I think that was one of those games that eventually led sections around this area here, the lower part of New York State, to institute rules that if the weather is going to be at a certain level, or they suspect it will be, the whole slate gets canceled. Or maybe if it's a playoff, if one team has to cancel on a certain day, everybody else in that same category cannot play too. And that's a memorable game 25 years ago. And this storm reminded me, and sitting here in this flood and working and not realizing I was being flooded, reminded me of that. And I did worry about electrocution that day in White Plains. But like they say, the show must go on, right? So my old pal Harry Jefferson from White Plains, worked the games with me at that time, too. We had the engineering crew, I remember. My good friend Noel Nanton, one-time star running back at Clarkstown North High School. We just said, well, as long as the game is on, I guess we have to be here, and we hope for the best. So here we are 25 years later. Luckily, nothing happened.
Well, that's fate. Fate.
Good luck. No question about that, too. Here we are, and it's Labor Day weekend, and we pointed that out, and we must point out we got to talk COVID still. When are we going to get off this topic, this subject? We have Anthony Fauci a few days ago saying to us that, you know, if you get your vaccine, all of us, in 6 months, we can get rid of this thing. I thought we'd be rid of it by now, but apparently this is still going to be something to deal with through the winter and into next year.
Well, at the present rate, in my weekly tracking of COVID, which doesn't take any talent, I just look at the state website and I use a calculator and baseball stats.
We know you have the
number.
It
is not a mystery. It is not a mystery. And the county continues to obscure what the stats really say. And what is happening is last week, at an infection rate of 3% of those tested, Westchester got 1,570 new cases. That's a lot. And 2 weeks from now, we can expect each of those to generate one person. Because
each
we've
of those
gotten
to
it that
generate
low.
One person?
Yes, it's that low. every 14 days, a person will come down with it, if they're going to come down with it, and they'll infect somebody. Now, we used to, they were infecting at about 3 or 4 persons, but now they're not. So it's still 1-to-1, and that was seized upon by County Executive Vladimir, is where even now we didn't go up, but that's getting new people in with the disease and other people out or off the list. So
and
it's
once
actually
you get off the list,
stat.
It doesn't mean you can't come back on that list, correct? You can get it again.
Yeah. But I mean, truly, this business is, it's a formula. I figured it out just one night, just fiddling with a calculator. And if you had, for example, 208 persons on August the 14th became infected, and then a couple of weeks later, that resulted in 169 positives. So that was a 0.8 of a person at each infected. So you see, we are going down. The last 4 days, we're down under the 1%.
Have vaccines helped any further? Have more and more people gone out for that vaccine, or enough people going out to get the vaccine because they're getting a push?
Well, last week, as Mr. Latimer said, he said that they got 1,100 people vaccinated at the county center, which is good, but we should really get 2,000
so
at least.
So twice the amount of what's happening, basically.
Yes, we people are listening to the getting a shot, and the people under 21 down to 12, maybe they're getting them, but that's what has to be done. But the surge in vaccines, which we spoke of a couple of weeks ago, I believe, that has stopped. That is
what about, okay, so we had that surge in vaccine stopping. We see the case.
Surge in vaccine, people getting shots.
You're getting shots, right.
Shots of the vaccine.
Right. Bottom line is we're not getting enough people to go get those shots, to go get those vaccines. So if Dr. Fauci says, if Anthony Fauci says, we'll still have to deal with this next spring, if enough people are not getting vaccinated, is this just going to be a vicious cycle of having to go back and forth getting vaccines? For example, they say we need a booster now after 8 months. My booster then would be, I'd be eligible in early December for that. And there's talk about, there had been talk about, I came across something that said 4.5 to 6 months for some people is vaccine effectiveness. And a couple of days later, you see Dr. Fauci and President Biden talking about maybe lowering that 8 months down to 5 months for a booster shot. Fits into that.
They're desperate because the virus labs are doing a much better job than we are at creating mutant prototypes.
Okay, so are we just going to be in this constant going to have to get a booster shot mode?
If we're going to keep going out and taking risks, like socializing without masks, particularly the young people, we're heading. Remember, the second wave didn't really start until school started last year. At Labor Day.
Speaking of schools, let's talk school.
Boom, it just ramped on up.
School year in Westchester is opening up now. Where do schools stand around the county with vaccines? With masks?
Well, at this point, it appears that Governor Hochul has mandated that people have to wear masks or be tested.
Okay, will it all be in-person learning, or are we going to have some?
All in-person learning, I believe, except perhaps in the highly infected cities like New Rochelle,
Yonkers,
Mount Vernon, and Portchester, and a number of the more well-to-do communities up north have the higher infection rates. It's all on the county's infection tracker. And to my way of thinking, I did the leaderboard as far as the places that are really considerably places you don't want to go to socialize in there. Yonkers, New Rochelle, Portchester and Mount Vernon. You have to not go there because that is where most new cases are.
I go shopping in New Rochelle now. That's it, pretty much. No more hanging out somewhere, unfortunately, but that's the way it has to be.
I mean, you know, I hate to do that, but those cities, those places have had this problem for a year. They've had it for a year. The leadership does nothing. The mayor and the city manager of New Rochelle have not really issued a lot of they haven't enforced anything. They're afraid. They don't want to irritate people. They're not being responsible.
Now, in schools, you talked about masking, vaccines. Must teachers around the county get vaccinated? Or is this an individual school district thing?
At this point, it's an individual school district thing. But Hochul is really encouraging this. In White Plains, their policy is that teachers and administrators have to be vaccinated, and if not, they have to be tested. But 90% of the White Plains district was vaccinated when they opened last spring, and that was successful. They had a lower infection rate when they reopened than they did previously, it was a great performance by both parents and students who masked accordingly, and we will see how this works out in next week. But this is the big test.
If you're a teacher in White Plains and you don't have a shot, must you be tested once, twice per week?
Yes.
If you refuse, are you unemployed?
Well, that has not been broached. But I mean,
that's a question we don't hear talked about.
No, we don't.
What happens if I say, well, I'm not going to get tested?
Well, there has been a great deal of cooperation.
I'm going to talk to my union.
Well, we don't have that problem in White Plains because we had a very low infection rate for the entire school year last year. Most of the infections took place outside the classrooms and the school premises. And they were basically social things where they got it outside the school system. So 4%, which amounted to 440 infections, students, teachers, and administration the whole year last year. That was a great record. And so we're pretty confident here in White Plains, but confidence, all it takes is carelessness outside the classroom area, and you're off to the races again. But and also, parents have to be make appointments to go and visit their school at a particular time and be masked.
John Bailey
visit the school.
Publisher and editor of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter, whiteplainscitizennetreporter.com, and the host on Fios and Spectrum TV in Westchester of White Plains Weekend, People to be Heard. You know, John Bale, you keep mentioning this new governor, Hochul. What happened to the old governor, Cuomo?
He bailed out.
Oh, he did? Yeah?
He bailed out because they let him have his pension.
Is that the reason why?
Resign, and you get to keep your pension.
He gets $50,000 plus per year, according to calculations.
Right. But, I mean, that's always the big leverage. I mean, when Adam Bradley was forced to resign by the same tactics.
In White Plains.
In White Plains.
As the mayor. Uh-huh.
Yes. And what happened with him is they threatened him with jail. And if he served time, then he loses his law license. He lost it. And if he lost it, he couldn't practice law. Had no profession.
Is Cuomo in danger of being indicted? We come across stories that the DA in Albany County seems to be looking into certain matters a bit further, looking for videotapes and security tapes, et cetera, of places like maybe the governor's mansion and other locales. That tells me maybe David Suarez, the district attorney up there in Albany a few months ago when he said, well, maybe the governor could get hit with a couple of misdemeanors. Maybe it could be a bit more than that.
I Well, it depends on how ambitious the DA is. If
good
he
point.
Feel, you know, if the DA, who is absolutely, I don't even know the name, but we know Letitia James's name,
right.
But we have not heard a peep out of her since his resignation. And right now, we await the civil suits to go to, what do they call it? It's not deposition, disclosure. What is it? The procedure that they present cases and evidence before.
Right.
What is it? Well, you know the one.
There is notification that has to be made first. That
yes, you have to go over the evidence.
Then you go through the whole procedure.
Yes, right. And
of deposition,
so,
et cetera.
We await those suits to go to trial. We wait whether or not they will be able to be covered by the press. We wait whether there will be gag orders placed on the people who are suing the governor.
Might New York State try to claw back Andrew Cuomo's book money? He supposedly has gotten 3.1 out of 5 mil so far, still owed 2 million by the publisher, and yet there is some talk. If I were the publisher and I were offended by what he did, I might try to claw that money back, what's been paid to him so far. And then I come across a report a couple of days ago that says the state may have a way to try to claw the money back.
I believe it's all in the publishing contract. I mean, you're not going to sign a book deal unless you say, I keep this no matter what. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no deal. I'll take it to somebody else.
But there could be a way for that money to go someplace else, be taken back out of Andrew Cuomo's pocket, his account, maybe through state laws that he may have violated in state.
Well, they could try and claw back the time that he allegedly used out of paid staff.
Right, and that's what this is about.
To claw that back. However,
that's the angle. Yeah.
Then that weakens the plaintiff's cases against him because, look, if you were working on all this stuff and still getting paid and he was treating you so badly, why did you do that?
They volunteered to do it.
They volunteered, right.
Or as someone once said to me in a youth group many years back when I was an early teen or preteen or whatever, Mr. Marino, stand up and discuss this topic here. I select you as a volunteer, the leader said. And I said, select a volunteer? You can't select a volunteer. A volunteer has to offer to do something of his own volition. And that group leader said, you're right, Mr. Marino, but right now I select you as a volunteer. So stand up and tell us what you think. So
I know.
It could have been that where, you know, Andrew Cuomo or somebody said, you know what, you're volunteering to work on the governor's book. Me? But no, we select you as a volunteer.
I don't know. Why would you want to do that? Because you're cheap. You want to use your own staff that is paid for by somebody else. You don't want to hire a professional editor who knows something about doing this. And you just want to make as much money as possible out of the deal without sharing it with anybody to help ghostwrite your book.
For example, you bring up a good point. Yeah, about this. You know, the new governor, Kathy Hochul, she was lieutenant governor under Andrew Cuomo. Not once was she mentioned in his book. Isn't that odd?
Right. I think it was really a waste of an obviously pretty competent person after 1 week in office. And really, her first major crisis, she's here in one spot. And then she's in Albany, then goes down to Queens, sits there, and obviously, no matter whether Schumer was there or the congressman there who spent way too much time, she was obviously in control of that trio. She was in control of that situation.
Queens. She had Senator Schumer, she had Gregory Meeks, the congressional representative of the area, and Queensborough President Donovan Richards, too. Somebody said to me, a local official in Westchester said to me a few weeks ago that watch Kathy Hochul and the way she gets around. It's not really for public consumption through the years hasn't been, but Kathy Hochul is the kind of person who will start her day in Albany, maybe has a meeting up in Buffalo, where she's from. She'll go to Buffalo. She might have an event on Long Island, have to be in the city in Manhattan for something, maybe stop in Westchester or Rockland on the way back to Albany. And, oh, she gets word that there's something going on in Rochester that needs her attention. And she'll go to Rochester, regardless of what time she gets back to Albany, even if that's in the early wee hours of the next morning. And that's what she's done, the way she's worked it so far.
Well, at this pace, it is really what Cuomo kept up the same pace. I got it. No matter what you think about Cuomo, he worked 7 days a week. He squashed the COVID. And then what happens? They wanted to get back to normal. They pushed and pushed, took away his powers, and then they got sick of him and decided to go after him on the sexual harassment stuff. They were out to get him. They wanted him out because he was a roadblock to various political ambitions throughout the state of people who wanted to be governor. They couldn't face another 4 years actually being led by somebody who could lead, because they can't.
What about Kathy Hochul's selection of Manhattan State Senator, Upper Manhattan State Senator Brian Benjamin for Lieutenant Governor? I guess he has to go through the nomination process right now. Was that done to keep a certain wing of the party happy downstate?
Read Manhattan. Manhattan is where the big donor money is, and Brooklyn is very important, but she or her strategists, I'm sure she has strategists now, felt that this would be a better fit to have someone from Manhattan who is well known and also represents a minority constituency, which Brooklyn should go for. Regardless, but you, in order to get the big liberal money in Manhattan to donate to your campaign, and this will be an expensive campaign for governor, she'll have to spend heavily on the primary, which she's already probably planning for, and then drop a bundle if she if there's a third party enters. There's never, the way the Republicans get in is that the Democrats do something absolutely stupid and fail to prevent a third party Democrat from taking another endorsement and running against her, splitting the vote, and the Republicans get in.
What about Andrew Cuomo? Could he be a third party threat here?
The man has a great deal of capacity for getting even. This has been shown by some of the things that people have complained about him. However,
the has big thing is... Has he been disgraced too much to even think of this?
Well, what if he isn't convicted? What if he just settles?
If he settled, you still have that public...
Settle without wrongdoing? I mean, he can get rid of this. By getting
all right, if you have a race,
if you have a way to negotiate them. Right. I believe they're civil suits, are they not?
Yeah.
Yeah, civil suits.
I think
suits
he's going to have a number often to deal with here.
Yeah.
Right, but if you settle, doesn't that give the impression of, doesn't the impression stick in people's minds of, if he settled, he must have done something wrong?
Yes, well, he feels he is going to prove it, and quite frankly, you have to have witnesses to this. You have to have witnesses. I don't know. I think this is more for a good defense lawyer to poke holes in the story. Remember O.J. Simpson. Nobody ever thought that jury would let them off, but they did because Johnny Cochran created a very plausible doubt. Mm-hmm. Reasonable doubt is very easy to establish.
If the glove don't fit, you have to acquit.
Acquit. That's right.
Uh-huh. So in Andrew Cuomo's instance here, all right, let's say he goes out, he reaches some settlements and tries to I guess, try to put everything under the rug, sweep it all under the rug, and maybe possibly run for governor again. How would he size up in a race against a Kathy Hochul, who you have to say is the front runner right now, and maybe a well-known congressman from Long Island like Lee Zeldin as the Republican nominee? That is still to be determined, with former Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino and Andrew Giuliani challenging him. Zeldin?
Well, Andrew Giuliani, forget about it. That's the most ridiculous.
At least I don't think he has a chance.
Suozzi, I think, is the biggest challenge to either Hochul or Cuomo. Suozzi has a very personable, charismatic style. He's perfected. And when he's appeared in White Plains, I've said,
Suozzi. We're talking Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi, who, if I remember right, about 20 years ago was mayor of Glencove, too, in Nassau County. He's got pretty good name recognition down here, downstate and around the state, too, and nationally.
Well, as New York goes, so goes the state. And I think Cuomo could primary. On the other hand, Cuomo could try to run for president.
He could try to run for president, you think?
Yes.
Okay. What makes you think that, outside of the fact that he wants to be president, we think, what makes you think he would have a chance maybe to even consider that? I think when you consider something like this and say, I'm going to do it, you have to be able to point to something that gives you a chance.
If Ron DeSantis can run for president, so can Cuomo.
Okay. Look at Bill de Blasio, who we think wants to be governor.
But Cuomo hasn't killed anybody by bad COVID policy. Cuomo hasn't furthered spread of the disease.
All right, we think Bill de Blasio has no chance if he runs for governor, and yet you can point to certain things where maybe he might have a shot if he does run for the Democratic nomination. Matter of fact, I think I'll give him credit for this. Instead of acting like a lame duck, he is mayoring every day, whether or not you like or agree with what he's doing. And I think he's still trying to set himself up for a run for governor by doing what he's doing and showing he's on the job day by day.
Yes. Excuse me, I was distracted. Some noise in the outer studio. Uh-huh. Could you rephrase the question?
Yeah. Bill de Blasio is out there every day acting like a mayor, even though he's a lame duck, and whatever he does day by day, whether you like what he does or agrees with what he does, he's still acting like a mayor every day. And I think he's doing this in order to set himself up for a run for governor, showing, look, I'm a lame duck, but I'm still on the job.
Well, New York City has not enjoyed Mr. de Blasio as a mayor. He has not handled things well for the most part. And the only thing he did do was he made a decision about the schools, which I thought was pretty intelligent, how to open them. And basically everything he's touched in the city has turned to lead.
Now in Albany,
They won't let him forget that. They won't let him forget that.
I know people who loved de Blasio through the years, and then the way he's handled certain things the last 2 years have kind of turned them off. Could they be turned back on to Bill de Blasio again? I think so. Is Kathy Hochul a shoo-in for the Democratic nomination, or we cannot say that yet? What do you think?
No, we can't say that, because we have to figure out how the governor want-to-be's, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, George Latimer, let's see, Mr. Suozzi, are going to turn on her to reduce her effectiveness.
Andrea Stewart-Cousins, majority leader from Yonkers, New York State Senate. She is working together with Kathy Hochul right now, the assembly speaker from the North Bronx, Carl Hasty.
While they've been on vacation,
he got Andrea Stewart-Cousins, Carl Hasty, and everybody in Albany back. She got.
Yes, we have a huge problem in this state, and those jerks go on vacation.
Rent
we have a
moratorium.
Huge problem.
Yes, the rent eviction moratorium extended to January, and they did put protections in the extension now for landlords that landlords can use after January 15th if there's not another extension at that point. But we do have to give the governor credit, I think, for that, for getting everybody
she brought
back
them back and they pushed it through in one day and she signed it. You can't ask for better action than that. And that meant she was negotiating it very strongly behind the scenes and said, look, if you don't do this, we are dead.
You're on Westchester Talk Radio on the beat in Westchester, westchestertalkradio.com. I'm John Marino. We are produced by Shark Creative, and we are joined by John Bailey, publisher, editor, White Plains, a Citizen Net reporter, online at White Plains, a Citizen Net reporter, all one word, .com. John, also the host of a couple of television shows on Fios and Spectrum here in Westchester, White Plains Weekend, People to be Heard. You brought up George Latimer, our county executive, and maybe he'll run for governor. First, he has to win re-election in November as county executive. His opponent is Republican Christine Schulte. At least they say she's his opponent, because is she in the witness protection program?
You make a good point, because I asked her for an interview at the beginning of July. And at the end of July, she gets back to me on a phone call and say, you know, we'll get back to you and set up some dates in August. So I give her a whole series of dates and they still haven't got back to me. They ain't running, my friend. She is not running a campaign.
Why? So why does she put Republicans her name on? You go down in the history books as having lost, whether or not you really wanted a campaign or not. Or as a public official once said to me a few years back, and I asked that public official, well, why you? And that public official said, well, because the party told me it's me. So why would you want to go out there and have a blemish on your name because the party told you you're going to be the sacrificial lamb? That doesn't make any sense to me, yet people have their own reasons for doing what they do or don't do.
Well, they are camp followers. I mean, there are a lot of people, district leaders in White Plains, who do everything the leadership of the city and the party says, whether it's against their principles or not. The Democratic Party in White Plains has ousted four actual councilmen from running again over the last 20 years because they disagreed with the mayor on issues. They've did that. That is usurping the will of the voters, period, when a party does that. And this is what happened with Susie Oppenheimer. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
When I remember. She and Adam Bradley tried to institute certiorari reform, in which a lot of lawyers make a lot of money. And that's why that never happened. And so therefore, when you actually put out policies that would help the taxpayer or help cities or help improve the quid pro quo nature of politics, they get rid of you. They don't kill you like they do on Netflix movies. They just get you out of office.
Does the MTA need to be reformed by Governor Hochul? Does she need to remove Andrew Cuomo's so-called friends on the MTA board? You know, she's had to deal with the subways a couple of times in the city with the MTA, with the storm this weekend, a couple of other incidents the past 2 weeks since she took office. And it's been a mess so far. And it seems like she gets it about what has to be done.
Well, the problem here with the MTA is this subway flooding problem. I haven't yet read in the paper the extent of the damage that was done to all the subways when the electric rails were short-circuited by the water, among other things.
The power surge problem just a few days ago. We had subways a few days before that. Now we had this from Ida this week, cascading rivers right through the subways.
Well, that has always happened, but I mean, never on this stage. I mean, subways always flood, but I mean, that's but the problem now is ridership. You cannot field that type of service if you don't have the ridership, and it's not coming back. I still don't think they're up to 50%.
No, they're not. Maybe about 40% back on the subways right now since
COVID.
They
can't cover their costs with that low ridership.
You see the flooding happen. You see an obvious infrastructure problem just cascading down your face, the way that water cascaded down that 28th Street, 7th Avenue subway station from what we saw and other.
Right, that's the coast.
Don't you just go out there and deal with this? It's like fixing a huge pothole. You know it's there. You know it has to be fixed today. Don't you just go right for that first, and then whatever happens after that, whatever comes up, comes up?
You know, you and I would. You had flooding in your basement. I had flooding in mine. We took care of it. No matter how hard the work was, we just did it. Politicians don't do that. They postpone it. They talk about it. That's what they do. Now, take a look at the count. The Springbrook Parkway has a pothole situation on that speedway, which has been in existence for some time. It's really bumpy.
Long time.
And that should be repaved.
Right.
Hey, haven't done that. The Kutch has flooded numerous times in my lifetime since I've lived in this county. They've tried to fix it a few times. They never have. The situation is they have to, I believe from an engineering standpoint, they have to drill extremely deep dry wells under that, like are under your house to take care of torrential rains.
The northern part of the Salt Parkway, too.
Yes, exactly.
That area there.
Up by Pleasantville.
Hawthorne. Yeah, into Mount Kisco.
The roads are old now, and they have to be replaced or rebuilt, elevated. If you elevate the roads, then it completely changes the look of the county, but you don't have flooding.
Mm-hmm. You go through Mount Kisco, Bedford, those roads there have been around for a long time, 117, 35, 121 into Lewisboro and South Salem, and you go up 22 into North Salem and into Putnam County. It seems like people know what the problems are, but nobody seems to really want to do anything about solving these problems. Give it some lip service and hope it goes away.
That's what politicians do. They give you lip service. That's why knocking out that that mandate, what is that? Everything is whirling around my head. You know, the prevention of being thrown out. The eviction rule that they just passed.
Right.
That was brave because the Supreme Court said you couldn't do that. They invented a way very quickly to give the representation that the Supreme Court said you had to have, equal due process for both sides, which I thought, since when do they make sure you have equal due process and it's in their best interest?
That's a good point. In their best interest.
Best interest. Yes, what they do is, this is a conservative court. Conservatives think that everything should be done in favor of the businessman and the owner who are supposedly responsible for all the success of America. Well, they're not. They pay low wages. They don't help people. They pay as low benefits as they possibly can within reason. And to show them something, a business without a product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sorry, this is may sound sacrilegious, but look at the Sacklers. Big news, decided in White Plains. This Judge Drain lets them go free.
Mm-hmm.
Free. Those people should be executed, but they did to thousands of people knowingly.
Talking about the pharma situation with the
Sacklers. Yes, but I mean, this is the definition of the robber baron.
Well, they just reached a settlement where they supposedly
the baron,
not be involved with the company anymore. Supposedly, we'll see about that, obviously.
Well, they keep the money. They keep the money.
Right. That
the settlement is extremely low. What does it work out per life? 500,000 people. And what is it? 9 billion?
Yeah.
What does that work out to?
I'm not a mathematician with numbers off the top of my head, but it's not too much when you think about it.
No, it's not. It's really funny the New York Times didn't figure that out in an editorial.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. John Bailey, Right Playland is wrapping up for the season soon after getting a little bit of a late start, but making people happy around the county and around the tri-state area who came to Right Playland in huge numbers early on around July 4th. Now that seems to have tapered off a little bit. Would you describe Right Playland's reopening this summer as a success?
Well, it's certainly spread a lot of COVID, if you consider that a success, because it started off really strong. There's no way I can say that, but all the open air amusements and the beaches did that. And that, in my opinion, I can't prove that, but I just look at the numbers. When the beaches opened up, from July 5th on, we've had a COVID growth and spread, and now it's sort of even.
What do you say to those who say, we can do this, it's outdoors, and everybody, well, we don't know if they're really vaccinated, but we ask, and they say they are, so we can let them in. How do you respond to somebody like that? I say, well, you still could have a super spreader, and it seems like what you're saying about Right Playland and about the beaches, et cetera, we might have had a super spreader or two along the way.
If they don't force people in Playland to wear masks and give them a fine, if they don't, you know, nominal one, but, or you can make money at it. Say, if you don't want to wear a mask in Playland, that's 15 extra bucks.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point here, too, about a fine, 50 bucks for not wearing a mask. We know locales around the county have instituted that since day one, basically, since COVID started. You don't wear a mask, we'll slap you with a $50
fine. What communities?
But you, all right. What? Have localities enforced this on average or just more?
No, I have not heard of any community that has publicized, don't come into Mamaroneck without a mask.
That's one place I've heard where, yeah, you better not come in. But I saw a lot of people walking around Mamaroneck one day without a mask. So,
well, that means they're not enforcing it.
Yeah. I wanted to stand out in the middle of the street and say, mask anyone? Mm-hmm. Grab my mask and say, mask anyone? No?
Well, that's what the politicians do. I mean, when our mayor was giving COVID briefings, he would say, remember, wear a mask. We are sitting apart and all that. But not once did he say, this is really serious for the city. We're doing well, but I really have to inject this. Why? Because he wants to remain popular.
Well, isn't that what it's about? A public official trying to stay as popular as possible.
You don't care about the public as well as you're popular and you keep your job.
Right. Or maybe get a better job along the way, too.
Yes. And because you're more popular. But then the higher the job goes up, the more challenges it. If you're not used to leading, making decisions, making rational decisions, as most politicians aren't. They're basically lawyers, and they make didactic decisions based on law books and past case history, which is a lot of work, and I recognize that. But when it comes right down to making the right, wrong, what is best decision, that's really hard. That's what parents have to do. Parental care is a great teacher of the responsibilities of decision making. And when you can't handle it, when you get frustrated, when it's all about you and not all about your kid, it has to be a good mix. Well, that's when families break apart and we have the abuse that starts. And, you know, this is what politicians do. They get into office and then they start going along with the flow against their principles because it's the way to go.
And that is the way to go.
They become less popular with their colleagues and the leaders of their party down where they, and it's not a pleasant business.
As we saw,
like being a prostitute. Prostitute has to please the customer and pocket her pay, but she never feels good about it, or he never feels good about it.
John.
I know I wouldn't.
You talk about politicians looking for a better job. All I can say is you and I both, we love our jobs, right?
I know. Why would you not like the job that you do all the time.
There you go. We've done it.
Why would you not? I like writing advertising copy. I loved writing advertising, but I never wrote on a product I didn't believe in. I was lucky I was able to do that. When I sold books, I made a lot of people happy. And when I sold, I wrote for Harlequin Romances. They were one of my clients, and we really helped grow that whole business back in the 80s with our advertising for it.
And John Bailey, always great to have you here on Westchester Talk Radio.
You know, it's really great just getting to vent like this.
There you go.
If you're not venting, you're not reporting.
Yeah, we always find a way to vent our own ways. We all do it in a different way, but I guess we work it in along the way, as they say. They're produced by Sharp.
Well, if you don't care, you don't care. Right?
Yeah.
If you don't care, you're not doing it. I mean, I see a lot of reporting on like of people who just are superficially covering something and they're not asking the tough question.
Right. We are produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Robeson Oil, the house that service built by Lipolis Electric. Don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. And also by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard, by White Plains Hospital, by Michael Labriola, landscape design and construction of Armonk, by Tompkins Mayapak Bank. John Bailey is the editor, and also he is the publisher of White Plains Citizen Net Reporter, whiteplainscitizennetreporter.com online. Also the host of Spectrum and Fios TV in Westchester programs, White Plains Weekend People to be Heard. We here at Westchester Talk Radio and Rockland, Orange, Putnam, Dutchess, and Fairfield County Talk Radio produce programming that covers the entire Hudson Valley and southeastern Connecticut, too. You can catch it all on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube, and you can go to the app. Westchester Talk Radio now has an app. Download it, take it with you anywhere and everywhere you go, every day, all day, 24/7. It's called Westchester Talk.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio, powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative, and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center. Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.